Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed and Michelle Carter, Senior Pastors of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Well, is it welcome? It is great. It's great to have the place full for this particular weekend. And really, what we want to try and do both this morning and tonight is, in this weekend, we always set aside one weekend every year, really to remind ourselves of why we're here. Yeah. Why is Valley Church here? Why do we turn up every Sunday in the week, all the activities we do? Why do we serve hard, give hard? Why do we do that? To remind ourselves of that, remind us a little bit of where we've come from, and then think about all that God's going to do. You see, I always believe that we have a bigger, a greater, a more exciting future. We have more amazing adventures to go on, both as a church and as individuals. The future's always better. You know, the Bible says that God can do more than we can imagine or dream or plan or think about. And I'm always like, well, my vision's quite big, God. So I'm really looking forward to what he's going to do in and through us as a church. So that's what we try and do.
So good. So I guess, where have we come from? You know, if you've arrived in Valley in the last year, you might just think we've always been like this. But actually, we haven't, because in 2007, Valley Church actually was born. We were born Ribble Valley Church. We were asked to plant a church in Preston. There were about 30 of us, including youth plus some kids. And we set off on a great adventure. We had a big vision, because we actually believe God had a big vision. And as Ed said, we have a bigger vision now. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, this is it, it's just not it. It isn't it for us, but it isn't it for God. But we started way back. There's going to be some pictures that are going to come up. We started 30 people. Oh, you handed over to me sooner, and I didn't let you go.
Bit.
I chipped in too much. I was away.
It's okay. You were away. It was good though, wasn't it?
But before I tell you any more, we're going to go back to where it all started.
Yes, we are going to back to where we started.
It's
so
slick.
If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn to Psalm 78.
We're
that
so
would
slick.
Be amazing. We are slick. We are slick. We're amazingly slick. Psalm 78, verse 1, is really our calling scripture. It's what calls us into being. It says this: O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And God has called us, all of us who count Valley home, to be about a new generation. And we talk about creating a home to empower a new generation, that we may create a community here, a place where people can belong, where they can feel comfortable, a place where they can get healing and transformation, a place where everything that God's put in them can be released. And I'm not just talking in a spiritual sense or in a church sense. I mean, so you could be amazing mums and dads. You could be amazing workers and business people. You could be amazing nurses and doctors. You can be amazing footballers. You can be amazing politicians. Whatever it is that God has placed in your heart and gives you to, we as a group, as people, want to help you do that. And that's our joy. That's our dream. And as we do that for each other, they do that for us, and each one of us grow and become something incredible. And it's for the new generation. We want this to be ever-expanding. God loves the world. God wants all the world, every individual in the world, to discover who he is and their incredible love for him. And so therefore, we're always thinking about, well, how can we get new people in? How can the new generation come through, encounter God, and be released into all that God has for them? And in the process, we pray, discover a home that they can feel safe and secure. A couple of years back, Michelle and I sat down and really... We wanted to paint a picture, a more detailed picture of the future. And so we wrote what we call the church we see, which one or two of you helped us craft. Thank you guys for doing that for us. And I want to read the church we see out. This is our dream in the future. I like it, but then this is a good job since I wrote it with Michelle. The church we see is a home for all, where people of any generation, age, race, and background are welcomed, valued, and loved. It's a place where each and every person can encounter God and find Jesus a Savior, Lord, and friend. Ours is a house of hope, where the broken and hurting can find love, healing, and restoration as they fix their eyes on Jesus and build their lives on His word, discovering in Him amazing grace, complete freedom, and unlimited blessing. The church we see is a place where all people who come are empowered and encouraged to reach their full potential in Christ, causing a generation to rise up, living fully alive, and becoming all that God created them to be and purposed them to do. It's a place where dreams are both born and fulfilled. We see a place where each one of us grows in our relationship with Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to reflect more and more of His character, gaining a confidence that is born out of an unshakable faith in each and every one of His promises. It's a place where there is a fierce passion, an all-consuming belief that together we can embark on adventures to build the kingdom of God and transform lives, families, communities, cities, oh, and even nations for His glory. And I guess in part that's what this day is about seeing something of that happen. The church we see is a place where everyone is released into their God-given leadership, where they are inspired and encouraged, resourced and released to impact all levels of society, living a generous life and therefore giving away that which cannot be kept to enable others to gain that which cannot be lost. It's a place where the sound of the house is created, championed, and set free to echo around the world. The place we see is a place of influence so large its heartbeat is felt across nations, and yet within it, so small that all find a family. Brilliant. And that's what we set out to do 12 years ago.
Slick. So I started by telling you earlier, and there are some pictures going to come on the screen, that in 2007, about 30 of us plus kids set off on a new adventure. And this is us, and we were in the school for a little while. And as I said, you know what, God gave us a big vision. We never had a vision that was just 30 people. We always had a vision to grow, because we always sensed that it was God's heart. And Pastor Ed shared from Psalm 78, you know, we had this vision, this picture that it was going to be for the new generation, but the new generation wasn't just the children. You know, I'm sat here and Layla's in front of me and we've got James and Sam and they've got the next generation, you know, but that's one side of it. But the other side of it was just that people that actually wouldn't go to church, they wouldn't maybe set foot in a traditional church, then actually we were the church for them, because the new generation is about people finding Jesus and they are the new generation, and that is what we had a passion for. So we met in the school for a while, and then we obviously, you know, we started at locations. Some of you guys are here, some of you are watching through the stream, and we set off and we had a connect group to start off with in Blackpool, led by Pastors James and Sam, and this grew, and then we became a service there. And right now we're looking at how we can continue to grow Blackpool and build strength into Blackpool, because we have a heart for Blackpool, but we recognize God wants to do more than what He's already doing. So now we're looking at different venues, different locations, a different approach, how we can build community and strength so that we can actually reach out into Blackpool and the surrounding area. We've got Lancaster, and you guys are watching it on the screen, and I'm sure you're cheering and smiling at being mentioned now. Let's give everyone a wave in Lancaster, guys. And we're excited by what God is doing in Lancaster and the growth that we're seeing there. And in the middle of that, we had Wigan, which we tried, but it wasn't our time. You know, we're a church that is open to hearing God's voice and walking into what he has for us. And we're not afraid to try things. And if it's not the time, then we're happy to have another go. But then we have the Northeast. And you know what? We're just believing that God is going to do great things in the Northeast this year. They had an Alpha course that ran. They had two people on the Alpha course and they got three decisions. Work that one out, because the family were so excited about what God was doing, they brought more family. And so actually there were three decisions that happened through an Alpha course that only had two people that were actually coming to explore. And you know what? That's what happens when God is working, when God is doing things. And you know what? We just want to keep having a go. We're excited about what God is going to do in the future. And then in the last year here at Preston, we've had just steady growth throughout the year, which has been incredible, just to see both services growing, to see the demographics growing as well, to be excited about the youth that are coming on a Friday. And obviously, we've had our coffee shop. You know, we're so excited about the new coffee shop. And I was in there on Thursday, and we've got a story time going on Thursday. And you know, the space that was set aside for story time was full. And I love the fact that mums are coming and they're engaging. You know, we have other things that run throughout the week, and we've just got almost our own mission field on our doorstep. You know, we're not having to go out there even. We've got people coming to us. And so it's just like, what is God going to do? And how can we get on board with it? I just love seeing this, and I love being in the heart of the community, and I'm excited for the future.
It's been great. And we have some new staging. I'm really loving this new staging and kind of the atmosphere, then the fact that you're all really close to us now. And it's been great. And if this is your first time, we hope you are loving being here and feel really part of it. It's why we do the work that we do and do staging and make it feel amazing. And we've also developed international partnerships. In fact, we've just got back from Chile, Dave and I. Fantastic time, an amazing country. And beautiful, beautiful people. Just a lovely, lovely church. Pastor Nelson and Barbara, who you saw in the final picture shot with our translator, Genesis. And we'll hopefully see them in the next year or so. Some of the church might come across. And they've asked us to go back and bring some people with us. So perhaps some of you might go across. And it is a beautiful country. For those who are concerned, it's quite safe. It's the safest South American country that there is. And we felt very safe and very blessed and loved.
It looks like you packed quite a lot into the days. I believe they were quite long days.
They were quite long days. They had, so the camp that we went on, their morning meeting was at 9 o'clock before it got too hot. And they finished about 11, half past, depending how it went. And then we often had some more meetings or conversations. And then they started the evening meeting at 9:30 at night. And the first night, I got to bed about 1:30, which was 4:30 our time. The second night, I got to bed about 2:20. The third night, I got to bed at 2:45. In the final night, the service didn't finish till almost 1:00. Yeah, I know. Chileans don't need sleep. Fortunately, we had the afternoon to rest, didn't we? Siesta time, so it was great. We've also done some work recently in Bulgaria. And I know some of you have been across there and helped with a home there for rescued prostitutes.
There's some incredible pride, I think, on some faces in this place this morning, just looking at actually what was achieved there. And also the girls also sent a whole pile of stuff over, which I know has just really helped them build into what they're doing out there. And being able to gift, you know, personal products and things to some of these girls who are on the streets and don't have stuff. And the locals were just blown away by the fact that these guys went over and for, I think, 5 days just worked day after day after day. And it's like, why would people give time to do this? And it's, well, because actually they've experienced something of the love of God and they just want to give back. And I'm sure Han in Lancaster is there with a big beaming smile on her face too. So a massive thank you from Bulgaria. And I know there's more to come. Just such an incredible year, just doing all this incredible things.
Cool. And we also have our connection in India with Vision Rescue. And we are, I'm going to say helping a church, that's not true. We're helping a number of churches now in Brazil through near Sao Paulo and Sorocaba, and Pastor Daniel and Lily out there. And Michelle and I and Dave are traveling there in September. And we're going to actually speak to an entire conference. So about 26, 27 churches are coming together putting a conference on, and they've asked us to go and speak there. So it's amazing what God's doing. It really, really is. And you need to know, church, that you, as you're obedient, as you go and do these things, that you're answering prayers. We were in Chile. One of the youth leaders there said, "Ed, can we spend some time with you? Want to ask you some questions?" And we sat down with them. And just before we finished, the guy, actually, he said in Spanish, and his girlfriend, soon-to-be fiancé, interpreted for us. He said, "Look, 2 years ago, there was a prophet came into town, a Chilean, and prayed over me and said, 'You don't know this, but God will bring people from around the world to speak into your ministry.'" And he said, "I thought that was impossible because nobody ever comes to us." And he said, 2 years later, you and Dave are here and God is fulfilling that prophecy. And you might go, wow, but that's what happens, you see. That's why it gets out of Vision Sunday. If you can grasp in your heart that you can be a significant change in somebody's life, just by being simply obedient, just by following, jumping on a plane. You sometimes think you have to do these amazing big things. No. Following God's will is just about doing what God's called you to do, often small things. And then somebody turns around and goes, "That's a prayer I've been praying for." And you go, wow, that's amazing. So that's good. Our kind of theme, our passion for this year is found from Esther. And obviously it's been on the screen a lot for such a time as this. And Esther's a book really written around an incident that happened in the Jewish history. They were in captivity. They'd been taken away. And due to circumstances, a certain group of politicians of the top things didn't like the Jews. And they'd planned a day when the general population could actually go and kill and wipe out the Jewish nation. And yet God's been providential. God's been at work way beforehand. And there's a young girl who, due to circumstances that she was not in control of, she's become queen next to the king, the ruler of the whole empire. And Mordecai, who's one of the Jewish leaders, and Esther, Queen Esther's uncle, contacts her and say, "Look, just because you're in the palace, don't think you're going to escape. You're in a position to do something." And this is how the conversation goes. Mordecai can't actually go into the palace, so he sends somebody called Hathach in. So Hathach went back and reported to Queen Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai these words: "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king, there is but one law, that he or she be put to death. The only exception to this is if the king extends a golden scepter to him and spares his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to come to the king." When these words, Esther's words, were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish." Now, I love this. But who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Perhaps you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Mordecai is saying, this is why you're there. It wasn't to be queen. It wasn't to enjoy the royalty. It was this is your purpose. This is your task. So Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa," that's the city she's in, "and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. I very simply want to say, and we'll expand on this on another Sundays, God, I believe, creates every individual for purpose. Nobody is an accident in this room. You were created for a reason to do something significant for God and for this world. Each and every one of you were that. And this is the year I am believing and praying for so many of us, that we will fulfill some of that purpose,
Yeah.
Some of you maybe discover your purpose and begin to walk into it. But for each one, it's significant because I believe that this year is our year. This is a time for us. The time for us to take opportunities. A time for us to stride out, maybe seemingly in ordinary ways, in obedience to what God has called us. Perhaps some of you extraordinary ways as you see God call you. But that we would make this time. And what I'm saying, let's be determined this year to look out for and watch opportunities, believing that this is our year to make a difference for Jesus Christ, for his kingdom, and for this world. And remember, it might take a bit of risk. It probably definitely will take a bit of effort. Mm. You know, Esther had to, after fasting and praying, she had to go and do something. Mm-hmm. She had to go and walk, presumably, or get a lift in a carriage to the palace. And she had to risk something. Now, she was a queen, and the king was favored with her. He chose her out of many young virgins. So she was, in one sense, in favor, but she had no idea. And she was perhaps a bit nervous, a bit scared about what might happen if. She might have felt, perhaps, was she qualified enough to do this thing that Mordecai was encouraging her to do? Just like you do when God asks you to do. And his thing is, you see, this is your time. It's not about feeling ready or feeling gifted or feeling confident or feeling prepared. It's about being available and doing it despite feeling ungifted, despite feeling scared, despite feeling slightly unprepared, despite wondering what the heck's going on, and doing it anyway and trusting God to come through, because that's what God does.
Yeah.
And we set off 12 years ago, not really understanding what leading church was about. Last weekend, sitting with a youth leader in Chile. Just incredible, right? Mm-hmm. Saying in my face, you're an answer to a prayer. You've traveled 7,500 miles to be here.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. When you go, I might not be what I think I should be, but I know I can be available to whatever God wants. And so with that said, we just want to talk about, in the next few minutes, some of the things that we want to do in the next year. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. So the first thing I want to talk about is our locations. We love our locations. We love having four locations, some petite, and some a little bit bigger, a bit larger. And really, for you guys in here in Preston and in Lancaster, really our heart and passion this year is to strengthen or grow our numbers. That's really our heart and passion. It's maybe not the most exciting thing, but I think it's necessary. See, we're dreaming, guys, that in 2 or 3 years' time that we'll have 2 morning services in Preston and 2 evening services in Preston and some spare capacity to go and start some new locations. Because God called us to grow and to keep expanding his kingdom. And for you guys in Lancaster, we dream you'll grow so that your location will be too small. And you'll be saying, we need something bigger. Because that's always the dream, that we get to a place where we need something bigger. We're believing for Blackpool, as Pastor Mashed's already talked about. And we're also looking around Preston. Have you noticed there's lots of building going on in Preston? Yeah? If you're not, where have you been? There's literally, you've been in the Northeast, fair enough, Joe. Yeah, that's fine. There's literally tens of thousands of houses going up around. We did a quick calculation. Well, Dave did a quick calculation. We think the population of Preston, by the time we finish, will be at least 50% bigger. I know, wow. I mean, our two villages where we come from will be twice as big by the time they've finished. There's a lot of building going on. And in the north of Preston, there is at least 20,000 houses going up, with estimate about 60,000 brand new people will be entering those houses. And we just want to know that as a leadership, as a team, we're beginning to look at North Preston. How do we reach that side of our city? We haven't come to any conclusions yet. Obviously, we'll be thinking about connect groups. We'll be thinking about maybe some other things, and you can dream about what they may look like. But how can we reach this city that Christ has called us to, as well as everywhere else that we're doing? And that's kind of our dreams for some of our locations.
And as a church, if we're going to live in for such a time as this, then it's going to mean some investment in ourselves. Yeah, it's going to mean actually getting into the Word of God. And I love my devotional life. I love nothing more than being in the Bible. And I've been in Proverbs probably. I think God's kept me in Proverbs, or kept taking me back, for about the last year or more even, maybe. I don't know. But I just think it really just speaks to us. It's really like blunt and plain and like, come on, this is it. So I just thought I'd share a few verses that I read yesterday and again this morning. It's a bit harsh at first, but just bear with me, okay? It says this: senseless people learn their lessons the hard way, but the wise are teachable. In wisdom's house, you'll find delightful treasures and the oil of the Holy Spirit. But the stupid squander what they've been given. The lovers of God who chase after righteousness will find all their dreams come true. An abundant life drenched with favor and a fountain that overflows with satisfaction. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases regional breakthrough, bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. And then a few more verses, and it finishes with this. All your brilliant wisdom and clever insight will be of no help at all if the Lord is against you. You can do your best to prepare for the battle, but ultimate victory comes from the Lord. And there's just this whole idea, you know what, we can, on our own, we can be like trying to work it all out, but we can go to the Word of God. We can invest in ourselves. We can buy books written by people who have been through some of the stuff that we've been through. And we can not just bury our heads in the sand or think, oh, we've got all the answers, but we can go to God and we can find the answers in Him. So how's your devotional life? You know, do you realize it's not just, you know, the thing you do for God, but it's the thing you do for you, right? Because it's actually us that gets fed when we read the Word of God. It's us that gets fed when we invest in buying books for ourselves. You know, I'm committed to reading between 1 to 2 books a month that is going to invest in me. I'm well on with it. I'm loving it. And I keep passing them on to you all. So there's more to come. But, you know, there's always minutes at the bus stop when you're waiting for the kids or, you know, I don't know, when you're meeting for someone for coffee or when you're at work in your lunch hour. We've all got those moments. What do you do with them? Can you invest in yourselves? We've got great people here in church. We've got great connect groups. You know, are you in them? Are you investing in yourself? And then also we invite great people into our church to speak to us. We believe in inviting some of the best leaders in the world, the best speakers to come here. You know, are you complacent about it? Are you going, oh, I'll see if I can fit it in. I'll see what else is on. Or are you there hungry, signing up first? You know, like it's just putting it out there. You know, do you recognize what God has put within our midst? Do you recognize the amazing people that we have coming? We've got sisterhood in 6 weeks' time. Girls, are you signed up? We've got Sarah Morgan coming from Hillsong Liverpool. They've started Hillsong in Liverpool. They've now gone to 2 services in the morning and they're looking at what is the next step. We've got Sarah coming. She's going to speak into your life. She's going to be able to invest in you. You know, are you ready? Are you hungry? We've got our big conference in the summer. We've got Pastor Dave Gilping and Pastors DJ and Karen McPhail coming. Like, they've all created a movement. Like, you know, we've got 2 movements here. We've had Hope City, we've got Liberty, and there's incredible things going on around the world. Like, get booked in. I just can't. Like, I love the fact that they come. I'm excited to meet these guys, to hang out with them. We've then got our big weekend in October, and we've got the incredible privilege of having 2 amazing people. Like, we've had Tim before, but this is Pastors Tim and Nicola Douglas from Melbourne, Australia. They are coming in October to speak to us as a church. You know, Nicola leads the Melbourne campus in the middle of the city, and they're just seeing it rammed and rammed and rammed, service after service. We've got these guys coming. They've seen God do things. They're going to come and they're going to invest in us as a church. You know, we can be afraid of missing out on something else that's going on. Let's be afraid. I spoke last week in Preston and in Lancaster a few weeks earlier. Let's have a fear of missing out what God is doing. Let's have a fear of missing out what God is doing. Not like, oh, what something else is going on. But then I've got one more thing to let you know about. We've had our Valley Academy now running for a number of years, and it's always been available to people who could give time up in the day, people that maybe work part-time or had a year out or something like that. But we want to make some of that teaching available for those people that maybe have full-time jobs, but that want to invest in ourselves. So we're going to launch in a small way in September our new evening college. And so we're going to take some of the teaching that we've already developed and more, we're going to have some speakers in. It's a baby start, okay? We're going to run some leadership courses. We're going to run some discipleship courses because we want, as a church, to invest in ourselves, because we want to walk into all that God has for us. So as church, if we're going to live in such a time as this, we need to be committed to growing ourselves. Let's decide now to be in what God is doing, to be in His purposes, and to be ready to take what He has for us. Yes.
So locations, we want to grow them. So let's get inviting. Let's get bringing our worlds and believing that God, they'll encounter God and their lives will get changed and transformed and eternity will be put in half. We're thinking about growing ourselves and investing in ourselves. And that's how we take hold of what God has for our future. And finally, as a church, we're hoping to expand our staff, which we haven't got any announcements in who yet, but we're kind of in that place now where we can think about expanding our staff and increasing our capacity that way, which is going to be brilliant. But also, we're going to create some jobs for volunteers. And I would love you to join with us and the rest of the team that's putting this together as we put some roles together for volunteer part-time staff, that God would call some of us to actually fulfill those roles. And we're going to put together a couple of full-time volunteer staff positions. And we're believing that God will call somebody perhaps for a year or for two to say, no, actually, I believe God's called me to sacrifice my salary or for husband or wife or partner or somebody to actually say, we're gonna just do this because we want to build church. We want to build. Remember, church isn't some abstract thing. The church is the bride of Christ. It's the people of God. It's you. It's me. It's the individuals. It's God's way of reaching the world. We might argue with God about the sensibilities of expecting humanity to reach humanity, but it's God's plan A and it's only plan. And so we're going to, we pray, expand our staffing so all of us can be more effective and we can take forward this thing called Valley Church into its future.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at Valley_Church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.